William forgot his Bible.
Ah.
Ephesians chapter 6. Six. Ephesians chapter 6. It's right after chapter 5, just before the book of Philippians. Got that, Chuck? Revelation and go backwards. I'm going to get you back. What's that? Yeah, here. They'll have it in there. Here's another one if you need it. Okay. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse number 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Now, did you hear that, kids? Did you hear that? Susan, did you hear that? Kathy, did you hear that? Did you hear it? Are you listening? Because this next verse is very important. "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, what that means is that mom and dad brought you into this world, and they can take you back out. Amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. I want to be a help to the people tonight, and I just pray now that you'll guide and direct this message, and we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Giving to our children. Giving to our children. That's the title of tonight's message. You know, I truly believe that we as parents many times give our children the wrong things. You know, we allow them to have things which they probably shouldn't have. We allow them to listen to the rock music, watch the videos that they shouldn't watch. We let them go places that they probably shouldn't go to. We let them do things that they probably shouldn't do just because they want it. They wear whatever kind of clothes they want to wear just because everybody else is. And I truly believe that we are giving them the wrong message as to what a Christian young man or a young lady needs to be like. In verses 1 through 3, we see that Paul's talking to children, what their responsibility is towards their parents. They are to obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right. They are to do as mom and dad tell them to do. They are to be obedient. They are to obey them in the Lord. If mom and dad tells you to do something that's outside of what God's word says, you can disobey them. Because it's better to obey God than man. They are to honor their father and their mother. Actually, they are to bring honor to their mother and their father. They're to make mom and dad proud of them that they are their children. You know, there are so many children being dishonorable to their parents today. You know, they feel that they have a better way of doing things, and they figure mom and dad are not very smart. You know, I had the dumbest dad there was until I became 18 years of age. We got married, and I moved out. And guess what? I found out really fast how smart my dad really was, even though he made us go to church. But my dad was probably the most intelligent man I ever knew upon the face of the earth as far as business sense and raising a family. You know, the best thing a parent can do to a child who is dishonorable to them is to try to let them do it on their own. You know, most have no idea of what it's like living outside the house. They don't have an education. They don't have a job. They have no idea what it takes to support themselves outside mom and dad's roof. You know, our children should bring honor to us, and they should do it in a way that we want. That wasn't my message, by the way. That was just the introduction. This is the message that I want to preach tonight. You know, we have all just seen the children's responsibility to the parent. They are to bring honor to us. They are to respect us. They are to obey us. Now let's take a look at the parents' responsibility to the children. Look at verse 4. The first word there says what? And. Now, what Paul is saying here is, I'm not done talking to you. Listen to what I'm about to say. Actually, in the original Greek, it would just go on with the sentence. He was writing a letter to the Ephesians, and this would just be a continuation of what he had talked about in verses 1, 2, and 3. And so he says, and listen to me. Paul is saying here, I am not through instructing you. He wanted the readers to go on and learn exactly what he had for them to know. Paul's telling them that there are some very important things that he is about to instruct them about their children and how to raise them. He goes on to say, and ye what? Mothers? No. Fathers. He's not talking to mom, he's talking to dad. Ye fathers. Ephesians 5, 22 and 25, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Guess what, Dad? You're supposed to be the head of the family. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, that's where the family was instituted. And guess what? Dad was given the opportunity to be the head of the family. Genesis 3:16 says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I want you to note here that if there's not a father to raise a child, then it's a mother's responsibility or a grandparent or whoever is raising that child. However, Paul wants the one who is responsible to the education and well-being of the child to listen to what he is about to say. And we need to understand this. He says, provoke not your children to wrath. Paul is saying, hey, parents, listen to what I'm telling you. Don't provoke your child to hate you. Now, what we need to realize is that if you must discipline a child, there are the right way and a wrong way to discipline children. You'll have to get my book to find out. No, I'm just kidding. But You can discipline a child in the way that he will hate you. Or you can discipline a child in the way that he will love you. In any either way, you know, we have to realize what we're doing. There's a right way and a wrong way to discipline children. Just as there's a right way and a wrong way to discipline employees or your spouse or someone else. You know, Paul is saying here, don't cause a division in your father-son or father-daughter relationship because of the way you discipline them. There's no principle of parental government more important than that a father should be able to control his temper when he is inflicting punishment. You know, my dad had a good way of punishing us. And this is what he would do. He would be angry when he saw us. And then he would say, "Go to your bedroom. I am going to be there shortly." Do you know that dads lie a lot? Because you know what? Sometimes it took him an hour to get there. And I had to sit in my bedroom waiting for the wrath of my father to come down upon me. Finally, the door would open up. And my dad would walk in. And he would say, "You know what you did wrong?" "Yes, sir." "You know what the punishment is?" "Yes, sir." "Fine." He takes off his belt. "Bend over." That was a part I did not like. It was after the bend over. And then he would always say this. "I want you to understand this. This is going to hurt me." What?
"More than it does you."
"More than it does." And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute here. Hold it. I'm the one that's getting the whooping. I'm the one who's ending up with the end of that belt on the seat of my britches. And it's going to hurt him more than me? Now, there's something wrong with this picture. Either he is lying or there's more to it than I know. Guess what? There was more to it. Because when I became an adult, I hated to spank my kids. I did. I hated to spank them. But you know what? I had to do it. And I did it out of love. I made sure that they knew that I loved them and that I wasn't doing it out of hate. But they had to have it. You know, there's no... When we punish our children, there's no given way to do it. But we should punish a child not because we're angry, but because it's the right thing to do. Not because it's a matter of personal contest, but because God tells us that we need to whoop the living daylights out of our kids once in a while. Amen? No. That we need to bring correction to our children. You know, I believe that we have a whole society of parents who are afraid to discipline their children because of the government. You know, I just believe that. You know, we need to correct our children, but we need to do it lovingly in a loving manner, not out of anger or hate. There was a case in Wisconsin when I was in law enforcement where it wasn't my case, but it was someone else's. And the parents had been arrested for child abuse. And the kids had been taken away from the parents and stuff because the parents spanked them. And so they had this little boy on the stand. And they asked him, they said, "Did your dad spank you?" And he looked right at the judge and he says, "Yes, sir, he did. And I deserved it." And the judge says, "What?" He says, "Your Honor, He says, I deserved to have a spanking because I did what he did. And the judge looked at him, he goes, you did that? He goes, yes, sir. And he says, my dad spanked me because he loves me. And he wants me to turn out to be right. And if he wouldn't have spanked me, he told me that I would probably end up in jail. And the judge looked at his dad and he says, sir, you're one of the best parents I've ever had in my court. Case dismissed. Listen, he did it the right way. He corrected his child out of love, not out of hate. The child knew that he'd done something wrong. He knew that his dad was going to correct him. And he did it out of love, not out of hate or anger. We need to correct our children, but we need to do it in a loving manner. And we need to realize that we need to do it out of love, not hate. Next thing that we see in that verse, it says, but bring them up in the nurture. The word nurture is paideron, in the Greek, which means chase or chastisement. Is translated one time in the New Testament, chastisement, in Hebrews 12:8, and three times chastising in Hebrews 12:5, 12:7, and 12:11. Now, Paul wants parents to realize that they are to chastise their children. They are to give them a spanking once in a while. In Hebrews 12:5 and 6, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, we are commanded, believe it or not, to correct our children. There's not one of us in this room who likes to be chastised, do we? Do you like somebody coming up and saying, you know you did that wrong, you idiot? Right? We don't like that. But the Bible says even God himself will chastise us when we do something wrong. You know, it's no different with our children. When they disobey, we need to chastise them so that they realize that we love them. You know, we have so many people today who have children who want to be their best friend. They have no parents because their parents want to be their best friend. I know woman after woman after woman after woman after woman that will look me in the eye and say, I can't correct my child because I want to be their best friend. They want to wear the same clothes, wear the same hairstyle. They want to dress the same way. They want to talk the same way. They want to do everything that their child does. Why? Because they're afraid of getting old. They're afraid of getting old. You know, I had to laugh. When we were growing up, there was a woman, and that's what she was. She was afraid of getting old. She was probably 55 years old, and she was still dressing like the teenagers. The only difference was she had a roll that just hung out over her short jeans. You know what I mean? She looked gross, you know? I mean, you know, I'm not trying to picture, you know, I want a picture in your mind just how gross she really looked. Oh, okay, I won't. But listen, she did not want to grow up. She didn't want to grow old. And we have so many parents like that today. They don't want to grow old. They want to be their kid's friend. They don't want to be a parent. So the kids have no parents. All they have is friends. Listen, do you know that kids desire to have parents? What kind of parents do they want? They want a parent who is going to discipline them and love them. They want a parent who's going to take and say to them, you know what? I love you. I love you. Even though you did something wrong, I still love you. However, there are consequences. Kids need to have friends, but it should not be their parents. Their parents need to be their parents, and their friends need to be their friends. Parents who are not afraid to chastise a child when they need it. And then he goes on to say, in the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition here means to draw attention towards and to instruct. We as parents are to draw our children's attention towards the Lord. If a parent's first and foremost responsibility is to draw your children to Christ. You know, we should all, in our heart, want to see our kids come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, we should want to see our children come to saving knowledge so that we know where they will spend eternity if something would ever happen to them. We need to draw them to the Lord. How do we do that? How do we draw our kids to the Lord? Through our personal walk with God ourselves. Through our prayer life. Through our actions. Do you know that your actions speak louder than your words do at home? Your actions speak a whole lot louder than what you say. Say what I do. Say what I mean, not what I do, right? Is that the way it is? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, but how can you draw something towards something else if there's no attraction in your own life? Think about that. You know, if you have two magnets and they lose their polarity, what good are they? Absolutely nothing. They won't draw anything towards them, will they? It's the same way with us. If we lose our polarity in the Lord, guess what? We're not going to draw kids. We're not going to draw neighbors. We're not going to draw anybody to the Lord. You know, we can give our children a lot of things, but if we can't give them or draw them to the Savior, we've lost what we should have been there to do. We need to instruct them in the things that God needs or wants them to know. You know, if we don't show them the way to get saved, who will? Amen? You know, they're not going to learn it on the streets, are they? I mean, I have never yet seen anybody standing out here on the street corner trying to lead somebody to the Lord. In the 18 years I've been there, the only one I have seen is Abed. Abed, he'll stand out there, and somebody will come up the street, he'll grab a hold of him and say, hey, can I talk to you a minute? And they talk so fast they can't understand what he's saying anyway. But at least he's doing it. You know, they're not going to learn it in the public schools, and they sure won't learn it from their friends, because their friends don't know anything about it. It's up to us as parents to instruct our children in the right way to go. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want you to notice something about that verse. There's no age requirement. All it says is when he's old, he will not depart from it. We need to train our children in the ways that the Lord wants them to go. And someday, if they slip away, they'll turn around and come back. I know a family who had a daughter who was saved, baptized. She grew up in a good church. Mom and dad were good Christians. They went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They were she was going to go her own way after she got out of high school. She started running with the wrong crowd. She fell away from the Lord. But when she hit bottom, all of a sudden, she remembered what she learned in church. And she came back. There's a little boy, story was told to me one time about a little boy. He was about 6 years old. And he got mad at his mom and dad. And he says, "You know what? I'm running away." So he took off. Started running away. You know what he took along with him? A loaf of bread. And as he was walking, he was tearing off bread and he was dropping it as he's walking away from home. And the guy saw him doing that and he said to him, he says, "Son," he says, "what are you doing?" He says, "I'm running away from home. I'm mad at my mom and dad." And he says, "Well, what are you doing with the bread?" He says, "Well, if I get to where I don't want to run away anymore, at least I can follow the bread coming back home." You know, that's the way we should teach our children. That if all of a sudden they walk away from the Lord and they don't do as what they probably should, they can always turn around and come back. You know, we need to draw them to the Savior, and He'll be able to lead them in all of their life's trials. You know, I can't help but think of the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told? He said there was two boys, a younger one and an older one. The younger one says, "I want my inheritance and I want it now." So dad says, "Okay," and he split the inheritance. He gave the younger boy his inheritance and he kept the older boy's because the older boy was stayed at home. The younger boy went out, says he went to a far country, lived sumptuously. That means he wasted every bit of money he had. He bought fast chariots, he bought fast women, he bought fast everything, and he had nothing left. There was a famine that came in the land. You know the story. And all of a sudden, he realized he had nothing. So he went to work as a pig farmer. He was Jewish. And he's working for a pig farmer. Had nothing to eat. So he's eating right alongside the pigs. He came to his senses and he says, "You know what? My dad treats his servants a whole lot better than me." So he turned around, went back home. And you know the story. His father saw him a long ways off and ran to meet him. Now, think about this. This boy walked all the way home without any shoes on. He's barefoot. He came home, and the clothes he had on were all tattered and ragged. He had nothing. He had pawned all of his jewelry. He had no jewelry. His dad saw him and ran to him, threw his arms around him, gave him a hug, and goes, "Pew, you stink!" No, he didn't do that. Threw his arms around him and said, "Welcome home, son." Gave him a robe, put sandals on his feet, put a ring on his finger, chain around his neck, took him home and had a party for him. Why? Because he came back to where he needed to be. You know, it's no different with the Lord. You know, when we walk away from Him, He's always there. All we have to do is just turn around and go back to Him. As I think about our own lives and our own families, are we willing to correct out of love, not anger? Are we ready to lead them to the Lord? Are we ready to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are we willing to be parents who will discipline our children and show them the way that they need to go in life? Being a parent is a grave responsibility. We should not take that responsibility lightly. We should draw our children to the Lord and instruct them in the things that they need to do. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. I just pray.